Welcome to 2022. Sounds kind of weird to even say that. It makes me feel very old, actually, to say 2022. We're starting out this new year preaching through our church vision. We haven't done it in a while. I mentioned that last week. Our church vision is quite simple. It's on the screen here. Behold, belong, and be sent. This is personally my own, what I want for my own life. Hope it's what you want for your life and the church. We want to be people who truly behold God, first and foremost. People who belong to one another here as brothers and sisters in Christ, we belong to one another deeply. And we want to be sent to those around us and to the uttermost parts of the earth with the good news about Jesus. Last week, I attempted to encourage all of us to be what we called a beaver, like the little animal, to be a beaver for the Bible in 2022. To chew on the Bible more in this year than you did last year. By following a Bible reading plan, I hope that you have considered that in some way. A Bible reading plan, whether that's the New Testament or whether it's the whole Bible or whether it's the whole Bible twice or whatever you might decide to do. But I would encourage you to do that. It's not too late. Today's the second. You can really start any time. There's no rule that says you have to do it like between January 1 and December 31, right? Well, when we read the Bible, what are we reading for? What is our aim? What are we hoping to see when we spend time in this book? Let's pray quickly. God, I pray that you will help me. My sufficiency is not in myself, but my sufficiency is in you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit might use this time in your word to encourage our hearts. And help us to see Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to basically ask three questions today as it pertains to the first point of our church vision, which is beholding God. Next week will be belong, and then we'll talk about being sent. Question number one, what are we seeking to behold? What do we want to see? Question number two, how do we behold God? And then number three, what does beholding God do for us? And I hope we see that in this text. So let's take a look at Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I would encourage you to read 2 Corinthians 3 on your own. Also with Exodus 34, where Moses put a veil over his face because he talked to God and his face was shining. So a little bit of context there. I won't go into all of that today. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 through 18 on your screen. It's talking about the Jews here. The Jewish people in general, not every Jew, but he's talking about the Jewish people in general in this time. He says, but their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted. He's talked about Moses having a veil over his face and how people are now veiled. The Jews are veiled because they cannot see Christ. That same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Verse 15. Yet, I think that should be yet. Yet to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So remember, we're asking these questions. What are we seeking to behold as a church and as individuals? How do we behold, and what does beholding do for us? So number one, what are we seeking to behold? Where did I get this idea of we should be beholding God? What are we seeking to behold? I want you to notice a few things in this passage. Very clearly, Paul says here that we are beholding with an unveiled face. We are beholding the glory of the Lord. Verse 18. The glory of the Lord. Now, the Lord here means Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus. We want to behold the glory of Jesus Christ. We want to see Him, and we want to see His glory. His magnificence, His beauty, His wisdom, all that He is, all that Jesus is, we want to see that. We want to behold that. Behold is a bigger word for seeing. So in this passage, it's clear in verse 18 that we are beholding the glory of the Lord. That's what we want to behold. Now, in this passage too, it's clear that someone cannot see the glory of the Lord unless there is a veil that is taken away. A veil needs to be removed. And that veil, he says, is removed by the Holy Spirit. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just the next, you know, couple of paragraphs over. You know this passage probably pretty well. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So you see, he's using this language here of blinding, being blinded, having a veil, being able to see or not see the glory of Christ. He says that the God of this world, the devil, has blinded people so that they see Jesus Christ and they kind of see nothing. Yeah, he's not really anything. Or he's just a prophet. He's a good guy. Has a lot of good things to say, you know. But not to see his glory. That's something totally different. So what are we seeking to behold? This passage says that we're beholding the glory of the Lord, who is Jesus. And that's only possible, we can only behold it, if the Holy Spirit removes a veil and enables us to see clearly. Wow, I see differently. Those of you who are believers understand that. You used to not see Christ, and now you're like, you're here. Once the veil is removed, he says that people are free. There's freedom, he says. Now, it's interesting. He says, when one turns to the Lord, in verse 16, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom to do what? Not freedom to, I can free to do whatever I want now in Christ. No, no. Freedom to behold. Freedom to behold the glory of Jesus. In that passage again in 2 Corinthians 4, he says that what we behold is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a play on a play here that I haven't read the whole thing. Moses would take the veil off and see God face to face, and his face would shine, and he would have to put the veil on. That's in the first part of chapter 3. And he's saying now we don't look at Moses' face. We're looking at the face of Christ. What are we seeking to behold as a church? We are free in the Holy Spirit to behold Christ's glory. Now this is important, because if you're like me, you don't always read the Bible to behold the glory of God. Sometimes it's to find answers, which is great, and it's good to find wisdom, and or it's good maybe just to read to check off the boxes that you did your reading. But that's altogether different than saying, I want to see the glory of Christ. So we want to behold Christ in all of His glory. Number two, how do we behold Christ's glory? How do we behold Christ's glory? Verse 18 again. And we all with unveiled face, that's happened by the Holy Spirit, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Now, this word beholding here, only used one time in the Bible. Beholding. It means to see in a mirror. Some of your translations may say reflecting. That's because this word means to see in a mirror or to see in a glass, and you're seeing something back at you. But the correct translation is beholding, not reflecting, not yet at least. That's chapter 4. So we want to behold the glory of the Lord. We don't want to behold ourselves in the mirror. He says that it's like looking in a glass, and we're not seeing ourselves and going, wow, I'm really wonderful now that I'm a Christian. Wow, I'm really a great person now. No, we are looking at Christ, and we want to see His glory. We don't stare at ourselves, we stare at Christ in the mirror. Now, interesting, this word beholding means looking in a mirror or in a glass, but what is the mirror? I wanted to have up here in front of us today one of those mirrors that we had in my home when I was growing up. You know, it's on like a pedestal and it's on a stand and it can flip and turn. I wanted to have one of those up here, but I don't have one and I couldn't find one. But it's looking into that mirror. We're looking into the mirror and we're wanting to behold the glory of Christ as we look. What is the mirror? He tells us in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, he says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers for a purpose, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see the play on words there? Image, seeing, light. So if I had a mirror up here, maybe this is like my mirror. If I had a mirror up here, I'm looking into the mirror. I'm wanting to behold something. I'm wanting to behold the glory of Christ. And where am I looking? Or how do I behold? I'm looking in the gospel. But it's not just the gospel. It's the whole Word of God, because the Word of God, the whole Word of God is the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 5:39, "You search the Scriptures, it is they that bear witness about Me." Jesus said, if you want to stare at Him, then you need to stare at the Scriptures to see His glory. So, how do we behold Christ's glory? We behold Christ's glory by staring long, not looking, staring. That's a longer thing. Staring at His glory in the Bible. So if we want to see Christ, if we want to see Christ's glory, then we find Christ's glory here in His Word. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's revealing Him to us. That's why when we read the Bible, we're wanting to see Christ. And that takes effort in your mind to say, okay, I'm not going to rush through this. I want to see You. Thirdly, what does beholding do for us? What does beholding do for us? He tells us in this passage, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see the picture there? So there's a mirror there. You're looking into this glass and you're wanting to behold the glory of Christ, not yourself. And you're looking, you're staring, and the mirror is the Bible, the Word of God. And the more you look and the more you behold, the more you actually start to look more like Christ. He says that. We're being transformed. This is continuous. We are continually being transformed into the image of Christ. That transformation there is the same word for transfiguration, metamorphosis. As we read the Word of God and we want to see Christ, we are transformed. Romans 12:2. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Romans 8:29, that same image. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what God is doing. He's wanting to make us Christians, little Christ, more like Christ. From one degree of glory to another. Literally says from glory to glory. You know what that means? That means as long as you keep beholding the glory of Christ in His Word, you're going to keep being changed, and you're going to continue to do that. You're not going to like reach a point to where you have no more need to be transformed until another day comes. So what does beholding do for us? We become like what we behold. When we behold Christ, we become more like Christ. It's not rocket science. I had a guy that I was discipling some years ago. It's not in my notes. A guy I was discipling some years ago, and he just said, I can't change. I keep finding myself, I'm not really any different. He never read the Bible. He never spent any time with God's Word, in God's Word. And then he started doing it. And he said, I realize this is seed. And I haven't digested seed. And so there's been no fruit in my life. And he started digesting seed. And he grew leaps and bounds. Let me summarize so far what we've said. Number one, the Holy Spirit has caused us to be born again. We have been regenerated. The veil has been removed from our minds and our hearts so that we can behold Christ's glory. Number two, we continually behold Christ's glory by staring at Christ in the mirror of the gospel in the Word of God. And number three, when we behold Christ's glory in His Word, the Spirit of God, He says the last part there, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, the Spirit of God transforms us to look more and more like Jesus. Now, let's quickly look at some application. Why is beholding Christ in His glory the most important thing for us? Why is that important for us in our lives? I mean, I've got a PhD to do. I've got bills to pay. I've got a lot of work. I've got things to do around the house. I've got kids. I've got five of them. There's so much to do in this world. Why beholding Christ? Because only here in Christ will you find true glory, satisfaction, joy, and happiness. Those of us who've lived long enough can tell you, as we sang in this song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If you've lived long enough, you know that the things of this world just don't satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. You can try, it doesn't work. Jesus works. As Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 17:15, "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness." To behold Christ is to know Him. Do you desire Christ? That's a very simple question. Do you desire Christ? I'm not even asking you if you're a Christian. I'm asking you if you want to behold Jesus Christ in His glory. That's not the same thing as being a Christian. Lots of people are Christians who don't desire Christ in name. The Holy Spirit set you and I free so that we could behold Christ and be transformed. Think about that. The Holy Spirit set us free, free to love and enjoy Christ. Not so we can attend church or be religious or do a Bible reading plan and sing some songs. All of those things are just means to an end. The end is beholding Jesus. That's what we're practicing doing for all eternity. What we will do for all eternity is enjoy Christ. And then we're practicing that here on earth. We mentioned last week about being a beaver for the Bible. Be a beholding beaver for the Bible. Don't just read the Bible and check off the boxes like, you know, for we know that our tune and we're just reading and your eyes are scanning letters. But you're not beholding. It's easy to do that, especially when you're tired. Now, most of us who are Christians, we know that these are things that we should do. It probably makes sense to you. We all want to be changed. We'd all like to be sanctified and behold Jesus in His Word and become more like Him. So why don't we? Why don't we behold Him daily or regularly as we should? Well, I've got a couple of obstacles. A couple of obstacles, I think. Number one is a veil. Got a black veil over your face? You can't see anything. Maybe Christ isn't glorious to you, and maybe you have no desire for Christ. Maybe you don't behold Him because you have never turned to the Lord, as it says here. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. My encouragement to you today, if you don't know Jesus, is call out to Him to save you. Turn your face to Christ. Ask for mercy. Believe in Him. Ask God to remove the veil and say, show us Christ. Show me Christ. I'd love to pray for you if you're not a Christian. I'd love to pray for you. I don't have any power to dispense. I'd love to pray for you, though, that God would be gracious and merciful to you, to open your eyes that you may behold the glory of Christ. Turn to Him. So one obstacle could be a veil. Secondly, an obstacle could be thorns. That sounds strange, doesn't it? It's kind of like there's a mirror there, and we can't behold Christ because there's like thorny bushes all the way around the mirror. That's what the Scripture says. Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 says this, "The cares of the world," think about this carefully, "the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, choke the word out of your life." That's what Mark 4, 18 and 19 says. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things will choke the word of God out of your life. You won't see the glory of Christ because you can't see it. It's covered, the mirror's covered in thorns. You cannot behold because you're choking. We could say like this, if we're beholding something else and enjoying its glory or seeking its glory, then Christ doesn't look glorious to us. I'm sure you understand how that is. The cares of the world, desire for money and pleasures and other things just simply get in the way in life to where we can't behold Christ. Now, what do we do? We'll talk about that in just a second. Well, we'll talk about it now. How do you battle to behold? How do you battle to behold? Well, you need to get some help. Obviously, on our own, we have a hard time. We need to get a friend, a brother or sister in Christ sometimes to help us and just say, confess your sins to one another, you may be healed. And just say, can I just be honest with you? I just don't ever read the Bible very much. I'm choking. I'm just, my whole life is, I can't behold because there's too much in the way. Sometimes you need help. That's what people in this room are here for. I understand. Just say, read the Bible. It's not necessarily a good solution, right? Sometimes you just need some help. Say, will you hold me accountable? I need to do a Bible reading plan. That's why we have the Beavers for the Bible group. We're trying to help each other. Robert Murray McShane, who did one of the Bible reading plans, he said, for every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ. For every look at self, take 10 looks at Christ. Well, maybe you need somebody to help you do that. That's what we're going to talk about next week, belonging. We have to help each other. I'd be glad to help you in any way that I can. I'm not Jesus. I'm just a sinful, flawed person, but I'd be glad to help you in any way that I can. I'm sure many brothers and sisters in this room would be glad to help you. But don't be deceived, though. If you're struggling on your own, get some help. My final exhortation to all of us today is this. We will behold the glory of the Lord with an unveiled face until the day we die, beholding Christ in His Word. But there will come a day when we won't need to do that anymore. I don't know if you thought about this passage, but 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." We're looking right now in the mirror, trying to behold the glory of Christ. But one day we will behold Him face to face. Now we know in part, we're battling to know Christ, but then we shall know fully, and we shall be fully known. Until that day, church, our church vision is what it is, because until that day, we are to keep beholding Jesus in the mirror of His Word until we behold Him face to face. Let's pray together. Almighty God, You know my limitations mentally. You know that there's a lot I wanted to say that I didn't say, and probably didn't say everything the way I would have liked, and probably said some things that might not be helpful. So I pray that more than anything today, You would encourage every one of us in our hearts by Your Spirit to behold the glory of Christ in the Word of Christ. And Lord, I pray that You will teach us to help one another, that we cultivate a kind of gospel culture in such a way here that we can at least go to each other and say, help me, I'm failing. I'm not doing a very good job and I need some help. That we can be belonging to one another closer so that we can help each other behold Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.